Visitors.
We got 3 or 4 visitors.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm. My traveling buddies. This is James.
Hi, James.
Hey, James.
And AJ.
Hi.
My name is Bob, and I'm an
Bob. Hey, Bob. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome, you guys.
Welcome, y'all, to Tennessee.
Yeah, they said we're trying to fit right in, you know. He tried to develop a draw down there, see if he can get it, you know, working on it. So when he come back, he have it down pat. But that might be a mistake.
Not a trick.
And I don't know, you know, the format, you know, I'm not quite sure what the format is. But usually on the safe side, you usually said somewhere in the sharing experience about the sort of the subject matter is usually comparable with what the lead is, you know. We have all different flavors of meetings, you know, and to accomplish different things, you know. One of the things is probably trying to familiarize ourselves with the content of our material that we have to work with. And there are tools, you know, there are actually instruments and tools that we use for our recovery. And I fought, you know, you're talking about fighting it all the way. So initially I fought it all the way because I could not conceive of no idea of, say, a 12 anything would go straighten my life out, no kind of way, you know. I was too smart for that shit anyhow, you know. I just needed some breaks, you know, and I wouldn't know a break if I seen it. You know, very often I said all the breaks that I had, you know, it was the very nature of my survival was the breaks that I got, you know, passes that I got, you know. If I had got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here. It's that simple, you know. When you really get down to it and you look at, you know, the sum total of the things that you've done and the things that you think you got away with, and I really say you think you got away because you think because somebody else don't see it or somebody don't know about it directly that you got away.
Yeah.
And I says, you know, if you didn't attach me to it, he said, I got away.
Yeah.
And I was always getting away. I got a lot of times I got away. I played all the games necessary to get away, you know. I lied, you know, I got perfected my lying technique, so to speak. You know, I'd start a lie before it was even necessary to have one. You know, I'd work on it, hone it, you know. I would find out later, you know, that it was, you know, very often, you know, the mistakes that I made, you know, were whether they were monumental or not, it was not doing me no service, wasn't doing me any good. And I thought that what you call getting over was what the game was about, you know, getting over, you know. Admit no mistakes. I would tell you that's the way it is. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, ain't no mistake. That's the way I wanted to that, you know. And so it was always kind of a thing, you know, trying to be somebody that I wasn't, you know, trying to be a character or develop a character that I was not, you know, wanting to be somebody else, be somewhere else. I was always never satisfied where I was most of the time, you know. And it didn't make no difference what was going on, you know. If it was having fun, it wasn't enough fun, you know. If it was in trouble, you say, it was too much trouble. It was just a little bit, you know. And I would either diminish or embellish or whatever the case may be on any occasion, you know. And but making a mistake was one of the things that I hated to do, and I would fight to almost, you know, go to blows with it. I'd get in people's face, you know, like, I didn't make no mistake, you made a mistake. Or you interpreted it wrong, you know. It wasn't meant to be that way, you know. So, you know, this growing process and the tools that we use here have been tested over time. And that's one of the things is, you say, comes in the doors of Narcotics Anonymous, and we don't realize that most of these things have been tested over time. People have tried to do those things or have done those things and continually practice to see how it works. You know, they do it to see how it works. You know, just that simple. See how it works. You know, and but people like me come in and challenge everything. We challenge the very nature that you wrote the word, even, you know, that you don't understand, and you know, you have to get into my psyche. You know, we get clean and we get very what do you call it, overly sharp, or we think that we you know, some guru, you know, the lessons of the world, come to me, I'll give you, I'll enlighten you, you know. We don't know shit, you know. But we don't know that right away, you know. We have a few challenges that we may have overcome, or we made a success, or doing something, you know, a small thing that we've a success, and we pat ourselves on the back all the time. Look how great I am. Shit, look how great I am, you know. You know, that kind of crazy shit that we do, and that's, you know, what addicts do, you know. Know that there's an amount of grace that goes here. You know, I've had a lot of grace, you know, by grace that things happen, you know, the way they have. And I've been given so many passes, and not had to pay for a lot of my mistakes. You know, the consequences of my mistakes... But sometimes we, you know, I get to the place where we get belligerent in that respect too, you know. So what? Huh? That one. You know. So screw you, Charlie. Take that, you know, in your face, you know. That kind of crazy shit, you know. Because we can't accept that we made a mistake. Not knowing the value of making a mistake and growing from it, or gathering some information from it so I don't have to continue to make the same mistake. But like most addicts like me, I see me in so many of you, because most of the mirrors of our who we are, and we see the mirrors happening all over and over again. And you wonder sometimes why another addict can see right through it, because you've been there, done that, you know it's nothing but bullshit, you know, and you know, it's a mistake, and sometimes we don't want to challenge or ask the person, say, do you realize, you say, that was a mistake? What have we learned from it? What lessons are learned from our mistakes? So it doesn't hinder me, you know, now in trying to fake it like I, you know, already know it. Rather than, you know, just do a make a blatant mistake, at times I'll go ask questions of, how you do that? See, more collectively in this room, we got some information in here. You know, I can go to you and ask you about how to, or what to, where did I get the information, or how do I get the information. I don't have to be that person that have all the answers anymore. You know, I don't have to be that person that... not say fail to make mistakes, because the only way you're not going to make mistakes, you're not doing a damn thing. You know, we got a lot of that going on too, huh? If you don't believe that, watch the person who gets all the criticism and all is usually the person that's doing something, huh? The one that's not getting criticized, talked about, or is Johnny come lately or something, you know, is usually not doing a motherfucking thing. So you can't question about what he's not doing. The only thing is, he's not doing anything so he can be observed. You see if you make a mistake. So sometimes we don't do nothing. Huh? Because I might make a mistake. I don't want to do shit. Yeah. Stand around and criticize you. Right? That's what I like to do. I like to criticize, you know. Very critical. You know, shit. Let me get your shit straight, you know. I don't know how I'm going to get it straight, but I want you to get your shit straight. So we come here, you know, in this rooms like this here, and we share a bit of our lives and our existence, and the thing, the tools we use in order to become a better person, and to learning how to enjoy some living, and learn how to enjoy life. It's a slow process, you know. And sometimes I even want to, by the same token, rather pat myself on the back, get something to beat me with, huh? Because I didn't do better. By whatever conditions is, you know, I didn't do better. And don't give me no slack, so to speak. Yeah. I don't give myself no slack. How did I do that same fucked up thing all over again, you know? Damn! One more time. I stuck my foot in the shit, you know. And I continue to make mistakes. I'm not inactive, so to speak, but I won't make mistakes. I'll get out and do, you know. You just have to point out my mistake, you know, like, Bob, that's not the way to do it, or that's how hard it is, or that's not the answer, or whatever the case may be. And sometimes I'll kind of puff up, you know, how we do. We try to fake it and kind of get you off of us, you know. But what do you know? We always challenge you what you know, you know. Sometimes you just bring me some information, you bring me an answer, bring me some direction, you know, and I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. But I want to be self-sufficient. I don't want to rely on nobody, right? And I don't know where we get all that crazy shit from. You know, we've been leeches all our life. We ain't been self-dependent on shit. We've always been dependent upon somebody for our existence. You know? Bloodsuckers. You know? Suck the lifeblood out of you, you know, and tell you that I'm taking care of business. Yeah, no shit, you know? At somebody else's expense. So that's kind of like, you know, done that for years, you know, that little thing, you know, living off the, called the fat of the land, living off of your fat, yeah. Not mine, because I'm not going to get out in front of the, you know, the man to get a hunk sliced off my ass, you know. I'm going to stand back cautiously, watch you, you know, and see what I can steal off of you, you know, snatch your shit, you know, because we good thieves, we love to steal shit, you know. That's one of the hard things to break when you had it so long. You know, I had that money for a long time. You know, I was a thief a long time. Before I even used any drugs, I was a thief. You know, I was stealing shit. You know, I wanted something for nothing all the time. Mm-hmm. I wanted your stuff. You know, I wanted things. You know, give me some things. You know, and then it made me feel good. I had your things, you know. And I got away and I had your things. I felt good, you know. So I had to, you know, escalate that thing. An uptake on that was get some more. Then, you know, get down to the drug thing where it don't make no difference, you know, like, fuck it, that don't make no difference. But I'm still stealing and doing the same character defects, you know, exercising them just right along. You know, just stepping out and doing that crazy shit. So, you know, we learn how to make mistakes. Not that we weren't making them before, but we become conscious of mistakes. We become aware that we don't have to be afraid of making mistakes. It allows the ability to get out there and to be counted, you know, with your imperfection, impurities of whatever case may be. We become accountable. We become accountable, you know. Step up and be accounted for. You know, good, bad, otherwise, you know, step up and be accountable. And we do some growing up in the process. We see some changes taking place. We see our lives getting better, and we see the relationship with other people changing. And we start liking ourselves. And when you start liking yourself, you start treating yourself better. Isn't that amazing? Damn. You know, all of a sudden we start liking ourselves, and we start treating ourselves better. We stop doing that shit that we've been doing to ourselves for a lifetime. You know? Because we start feeling better about ourselves, we start doing better about ourselves, and we start enjoying what has been given as life, you know, the grace, you know, we've been given grace, you know. So, just by being here, you know, is another another experience, you know, another step in, I feel, in the right direction, you know. If it's the wrong direction, I don't know about it. I feel that it was for the right reasons. All the things seem to be in the right place. It just seems to happen. Things happen in a certain manner that, once again, you're talking about turning it over, you know. Turn it over, let it go, and so I don't have to be drugged through the mud with it. Good chance to use that little thing phrase last night. Let it go, Bob, you know. You can't fix it. You don't have the tools to fix it. So let it go, yeah. So I'm glad to be here tonight. I mean, in town, it said, yeah, my circle has grown larger. Yeah? Met some new people, yeah? Yeah, I got a huge circle now. It's much bigger than one I had. And when I was running around that block, you know, trying to catch the connection, hope he didn't get off the point before I got there. That was a short world, baby. Woo, damn, that was a short world. I didn't know how close that sandwich was, you know. I was traveling all over the world, but my world was small, you know. It didn't get too far from the connection. I found that out early. Don't get too far from the connection. And everything within that circle, that's the only thing that's going on, you know. Mm-hmm. My world is a lot different. It's a lot better, more fulfilling. It's pretty much enjoyable most of the time. I mean, I like to short circuit and tell you all the negative things that are happening or going on, but it's just life showing up. That's what it really is in that department. Life is here, baby, you know. Address that one, you know. And I hope that's not a mistake. I don't think it is. So I don't know if we pass it on, get up on to other people sharing and participating. I think that's what happens here from there, right?
Okay. Yeah.
It's open.
All right.
John.
Hey, John. I heard something today that kind of put today's meditation in perspective for me. It's insanity is, let's see, it goes, insanity is making the same mistakes over and over again, expecting a different result. Somebody said something today that's been sticking in my mind all day, that is actually a severe form of denial, making the same mistakes over and over again and expecting a different result. That insanity would be making the same mistakes over and over again and knowing that you're going to get a different result. That made a little bit of difference. You know, that put that kind of in perspective for me, because I'll tell you, I've done some insane damn things. I think that everybody's insane to varying degrees anyway. You know, there's no such thing as normal. That you were talking about a minute ago, you were talking about leeching. Well, I've been up here, I've been in the VA hospital over here going on a year now. Before I came up here, I was in the, I stayed in the woods in the school bus, way out in the woods in the school bus. I was an agricultural entrepreneur. Good pot made liquor. And I thought that I was being self-sufficient, that, you know, that I wasn't living off nobody. But I realized now I was living off everybody else's addiction. You see, I was drawing my little government check, and I was out there growing pot and making liquor and staying fucked up my damn self. And living off everybody else's addiction in the valley down there. You know, and I came to that conclusion about 6 months ago. Of course, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be, in the society that we have today, anything anybody else has to do, does, indirectly or directly, affects your life. And it's up to you what you want to make out of this. You know what I mean? To me, it is. I had to work on it to accept that I can't change anybody but John. Whatever's going on around me, I have absolutely no control over anything passing into my fingers. And here, just yesterday, I threw a damn fit. I'm good at throwing fits. Good God Almighty. And it was over something stupid, as usual. Taking something little and just blowing it all out of fucking proportion. And I realized that today. I realized it when I did it. You know, I guess that's insanity, isn't it? I knew when I did it I was doing something. I knew what the outcome was. But I did it anyway. And I'll probably do something tomorrow, same damn way. Today ain't over yet. And, a friend of mine, she told me, I asked one day, I guess this has been about 3 weeks ago. I said, how are you doing today? You doing okay today? She told me, she said, yeah, I'm doing fine so far, but I'll probably fuck something up in the next couple of minutes. And I kind of let it bounce around in my head for a little while. I got a lot of room in there for things to bounce around. that up. I'm glad to see you guys down here. I've been kind of in kind of a dilemma myself here about the past 2 or 3 weeks since Greg passed away, because my sponsor, he's like a rock to me, his name is Sam. You know, and Sam hadn't been acting right. I talked to him about it last night, and I know he's going through the grief and everything. I personally didn't know Greg that well. I met him a couple of times, so naturally his passing wouldn't affect me the way it would affect Sam, because I didn't know the man. You know, but I never realized before I got into recovery, I was fucked up for 23 years. I never had a relapse because I've never been straight. And I never realized before how much of an effect another human being could have on you. You know, I had no respect for people at all, whatsoever, none. I was in the Marine Corps, and I've been in that, I've been scooter trash my whole damn life, and was in the damn Marine Corps, and human beings just didn't mean nothing. And here lately I've met people, I actually care about people, I've got friends of different races, I've got female friends, I've got, it's amazing to me that I was just living in a state of pure ignorance, you know what I mean? I just didn't know. Didn't know any better than the society I was running around with. And it's kind of scary sometimes when you get to care about somebody and you see them going through all these changes. You know, because here's my rock, and he's falling to pieces. I don't think he's falling to pieces, but he sure ain't acting right. You know, and I'm worried about him, and I'm concerned about what's going on. And there's nothing I can do to change it. I can be there and talk to him, kind of reverse roles or something. I don't know. I'm glad to see you guys down here. I'm sorry about what happened to Greg. And that liver cancer is something else, man. But I will say this, and I hope y'all don't take it wrong, that with what he was going through, I think he was fortunate to pass so quickly that he didn't have to lay around and suffer for long about it. You know what I mean? Because that stuff, I did a little bit of reading about liver cancer, what it does to you. That's some terrible stuff, man. And the man passed with dignity, and he stuck to his principles to the very ends. Me, myself, if I was in that situation, I'd probably been hollering for morphine. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you about it. But he stuck his principles to the end. And I'm going to shut my mouth. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm Larry Kotsavi.
Hi, Sabi.
Thanks, Bob, for leading the meeting. I met Bob in Memphis last year, and I'd heard of him for a long time. I read his story in the basic text. I found the only NA meeting in the world. Later I came to know he has two stories. Something Meaningful is also your story? Mm-hmm. Well, and that is in the white book. And as I know of, he's the only member who has two stories. And that's different.
That's different.
And he has been here for a long time. He surrendered to this program in August.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 11th?
12th.
I missed by 1961. Mm-hmm. Yeah. About 12 days before I was born. That was a long time.
That's what I was going to say.
37 years.
Just a couple of months old.
I know there are no big shots in any, but Bob is my hero. And it's a beautiful program. But Bob was talking about that small world which has become so big for me today. I have you guys, the small room and that big world outside, the members all over the world, and I'm connected. And that's such a beautiful feeling. Anywhere I go, I can find myself in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I can feel protective. I can be a part of this worldwide fellowship. Greg has been a very good sponsor for me. He was probably, that is the best thing that happened in my recovery, that I met Greg P. And he was my sponsor for more than 3 years. Until the last day, he kept on teaching me what I learned, that whatever happens, you don't have to pick up again. And I was fortunate to be by his side right till the end. while I was the last NM member who saw him alive. And it has been a painful period, and now I guess it is wearing off. I'm hunting for another sponsor, because I have to move on in this journey. And whatever Greg said, I've learned, and I keep on learning from his speaker tapes. And about what John was sharing about this thing, about insanity, making the same mistakes again and again, expecting different results. I was in the meeting this morning, and I quoted Greg. Greg used to say insanity is making the same mistakes again and again, knowing what the results are going to be, but making it anyway. And that's what my life was. I knew what that drug is going to do, but I just want a little bit to get that edge off, and then I'll start acting better and my life will be in control. Or I wanted to use all I could for today, because I did not want to use for the rest of my life. I wanted to get cured and clean for good. And you guys told me a simple thing, just don't use today. That's so simple. Oh, it's a beautiful program. I'm glad you guys are here. Also the out-of-town visitors who have traveled from far and wide. I know these are sad times. The reason you guys are here is because of Greg, but even in his going, he has brought us all together, and that I'm really grateful for. Thanks.
Thanks, Father.
Thanks, Father.
Thanks,
Father. Hey,
hey. I'm going to have a good time this weekend and celebrate somebody's life. Not to mourn it now.
All right, that sounds fun.
That's me. I remember sitting in a meeting having about 10 years clean. And I'm sitting in a meeting and I was convinced that the mistakes I were making were beyond tragedy. I mean, it was just, the guy last night was talking about having a worst case scenario machine in his head, right? I used to just call it, I fuck up everything. You know, that was my rule of life, I fuck up everything. And I used to lay around, I used to go to bed and lay around for hours in bed and look back on my whole life at every mistake I had ever made, at everything I ever did, and I figured everything I did was a mistake. Yeah. And then I would, of course, flip it past today and tomorrow, and I certainly knew that that was never going to change. Everything I would do till I died would be a mistake. And 10 years clean, I'm sitting in a meeting. I'm still capable of thinking like that. I did most of the time by then, but I'm still capable of it. And I think I know this literature, right? And we're reading Just for Today chapter. And all of a sudden, some guy reads something that day got put into all the basic texts in the world, because I swear to God, it was never there before. And it was something about, I can't quote nothing good, but there's something about how we start to see that any mistake we make is not a link in an unbreakable chain of failure. And that's how I always felt, that like every mistake was like this another link in the chain, an unbroken forever chain, from the day I was born till the day I died, and maybe a legacy of a few days past that. Just everything, failure, couldn't make anything. And that was like spiritual awakening as a result of this literature. Spiritual awakening as a result of just keeping my ears open and listening to what was being said out of me. And I started being able to see a lot better. I mean, it was that I could up to then, I had taken steps. I had taken a couple of 4 steps by then. I started taking 5th steps and the whole thing, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 55 steps. Well, okay, 12, that's nothing. But still like that, I had a hard time a lot of times. Like I would get to, I screwed something up. And it would just all of a sudden my head be, oh yeah, of course, AJ, you fuck up everything. You fuck up everything, and then you fuck it up. Relationships be a great area, you know, right? I mean, because I could, believe me, if there was one single loser to be picked out in a crowd of 1,000, I could find that person and say, you want to go out? I could find, if it was one in 2,000, it might take me 2 tries, but I'd still find them. And I could pick out the worst jobs. I would always pick out the worst cars, the ones that would fall apart. You know, I'd pick the wrong neighborhoods to live in, the bad apartments with the cockroaches. You know, et cetera. And every time I did something wrong, I would ignore the fact that, like, up until then, maybe I had done like the last 4 things right. I had made 4 good decisions. And I'd see, I'd screw up one thing, and I'd go, see, I fuck up everything. Never mind that, like, the last week of my life actually went well. I screw up one thing on Saturday. Never mind that, like, Sunday through Friday was just a bomb diggity. Anyway, I said it's just hearing that, and hearing that being read at a meeting from the text. To me, the basic text is not a book. It is not a text per se. I have to put this. To me, it's just nothing more than a written record of a bunch of addicts talking to me. You know, it's like a meeting that's kind of like frozen in time, and it's not like some college textbook I got to try to live up to. It's not anything admonishing me. It's not my betters talking down to me. It's just a bunch of other addicts sitting around in the room, and it's just kind of like somebody took a snapshot of everything that's being said. And snapshot of everything being said, well, whatever. See, there was a mistake. Oh, I fuck up everything. You see that? I can't even share it with me. I come all the way to Tennessee. I don't care. You know, agreed. I mean, I was doing pretty good up until then. I'm doing pretty good since then. And even if Nat is quite embarrassed right now for having been sitting there. And I just want to ask, and I'm not looking for an answer during the meeting, but I do want to ask why it is that you jump up and talk during the readings. I find it curious, and a friend of mine moved out of Jersey, out of state, and ran into that, and she got completely discombobulated by it. And I really didn't know what to say to her, because I never heard it done anywhere before. And now, like 2 or 3 weeks after she tells me about it, moving out of Jersey to someplace else, I'm running into it here. So just kind of curious why y'all do that, how they got started. What's the point? I don't get it. And that's it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep coming back.
Yeah.
Keep coming back.
Well, John, I'm an addict. I heard that if you share more than once, you got a big mouth and a big ego, and I got both. But I'll answer your question, because we have fun around here. You know what I mean? Ain't everything deadly serious. Our disease is deadly serious. You know, sometimes we get a little laugh or something if we can make it fun going to a meeting, you know what I mean? If we can throw our little things. And boy, if you think we're bad, you ought to go to Knoxville. You know, it's not disruptive. Boy, I can get disruptive now. I mean, I didn't today out of respect for people. People know me here know I can. And I don't know. I just think, you know, just a little bit of laughter never hurt anybody. You know what I mean? If you can screw around a little bit, make a little joke here and there, get somebody to laugh, there's nothing wrong with that. You know? There's no newcomers sitting in here tonight. We know what this is all about. We know this is a deadly serious thing. We've got a deadly serious head, and ain't no fixing it. We can put suspension, but we can't fix it. That's about all I got to share.
Thanks, John.
I'm Keith. I'm an addict.
Hey, Keith.
First day I crawled into these rooms with a desire to stop using, because I was in these rooms prior to that day, with a desire to get people off my ass so that I could continue to use. I heard once again when people shared I heard once again them talking about me. You know, and I puffed up. I wanted to know who come and told you about me. You know, and today it's a little bit different. I come in here tonight and I hear you talking about me. And I don't puff up, you know. You know, I get a little gratitude, you know. I've shared a number of times in a number of these meetings about, you know, one of the best things that happens in my life in these rooms is that someone sits across the table from me and shares something about what's going on with them, and they come back the next night or week or day or whatever in the hell, the next time. They come back the next time, and they come back the next time, and they come back the next time. They keep coming back and keep sharing about stuff that's happening to them in their lives and in their recovery. I'm pretty much in all of those places, you know. I forget about the grace, you know, and I'm the best at beating up on myself, but, you know, I need to be reminded of the grace that I have had. You know, I wouldn't have lived through 26 years of active addiction had I not been in some sort of grace. There had been some reason for me to live through that shit when so many others died all around me. And I'm in that place where I fuck up everything. You know, I got this letter yesterday that applied for this job at Sprint. And it's a nice little turn-down letter, you know how they are. Well, we found your skills and everything adequate. But you're just not the person that we're looking for. You know? Yeah, I'm adequate, you know. And it reminded me of that word that I never wanted to be was okay. You're just okay. You know, I didn't know how to be okay. And today I don't know how to be adequate. I didn't take adequate all that well either. I moved out here about a year or so ago and I've had a very difficult time with this particular change. I mean, because everything has changed. Where I live, the cultural change is completely 180 degrees, it seems like to me, and the career I've been working on for 9 years kind of just went out the window, and some things, you know, and it's been crazy, and I've been crazy, and doing a lot of that beating up on myself, and still, you know, wonder, you know, why in the hell I'm down the road, you know. I've sat in these rooms day after day after day after day for quite some time, and yet my mind still has the ability to instantaneously get into that shit, you know? And you know, I have shared many times in these rooms that I have used this program like the dope, you know? Where, how I'm feeling, what I'm doing in my life, or whatever in the hell it is, isn't exactly the way that I want it to be. And so I think that I can run out and work a step. I can go to 2 meetings today instead of 1. I can, you know, pray more prayers, or I can talk to more people on the phone, and I can change that feeling. That's what I did with the dope. You know, I want that instantaneous change, and I want it to be different, you know. It hasn't been for the last year. You know, that hasn't been the way that this thing has worked. So I'm grateful that, you know, that I can hear once again, and I hear it a lot, I say it a lot, that this son of a bitch is a slow process. You know? I don't have a lot of gratitude most of the time for those lessons that I get to relearn, and it pisses me off sometimes when somebody says, "What are you learning from this?" I'm pissed off about that. I haven't got a fucking clue sometimes what I'm supposed to learn from this. You know? Until much later on down the line. And then I get those moments of clarity and awareness. Oh, well, now, where's the son of a bitch that asked me what I was supposed to be learning from that? Where is he now so I can tell him? Because now I know. But I don't know right at the time. You know? And so that's a lot of been what's going on. You know, I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be learning from all of this, you know. What I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is that no matter what happens, I don't have to pick up mules. And just as I shared last night, you know, I try not to judge things as good or bad. I try to look at them as different, you know. And although that's my first inclination, is to say this is good or this is bad. Shit, I don't have a good, I don't have a clue sometimes what the hell's good for me, you know. But I sure know that this is a lot different, you know. But I'm glad to hear that other people share that it's a slow process for them and that they can sit in these rooms sometimes when, you know, maybe you think you should be somewhere else or farther, or I should be better because I've worked this many sets of steps, or I've done this or done that, or been here or went to this many meetings or whatever in the fuck. And it's like a guy around here shares once in a while. He says, I still got it. You know, I still have the disease of addiction, and I am fully capable of engaging, you know, in that addiction, in that thinking. And not as much today, but sometimes in the behavior, you know. So I'm grateful to be here clean. I'm grateful to hear about me, you know, and I'm grateful to see you fellas, but also I'm just as grateful to see the faces that I see, you know, those days and those weeks and those months, you know, that I keep coming back here, you know, because that's what this thing has always given me, is hope. And you know, I'm a real sick bastard, you know, but when I see these other real sick bastards coming around, you know, night after night after night after night, you know, I know there's always hope for Keith if he just keeps coming around, you know. Thanks for reminding me of the grace. That's it.
Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Keith.
For those that came in late, it's the thing today was profiting from our mistakes, learning from our mistakes, not being afraid to make mistakes. So it's still open.
Well, my name is Rhonda.
Well,
hey, Rhonda.
It's not too often that I share, but Sunday is going to be sort of like a big day for me. I'm from Washington, D.C. And my mother's been sick. Well, she's coming Sunday. And it's kind of got me on edge because my first thought was, can you handle it? I mean, it's like she can't get around for herself. She can't cook for herself. I have an 8-year-old daughter, so that's like another child I have to take care of. And thinking of mistakes, it's like I think I might have made a mistake, but I can't turn my mother away. You know, she's there. She has no kids there now. I don't know. I'm really worried, but it's like I can't say no. And at first I started to tell her, you know, no, I can't do this. I really don't have it in me. And then I have to think, in the beginning of my addiction, she was there for me until she realized I was an addict. And then, you know, the tough love act came into effect, which was all good, you know. So, I don't know. I think it's just her, the medical problems that is really worrying me, because I don't think, you know, I panic when my kids get sick. My daughter gets a bloody nose and I'm ready to take her to the hospital. I don't care. Emergency room, I can't do the emergency room thing. So I'm wondering, what if something happens to my mother down here? Who's going to take her to the hospital? Because I can't. I just don't have it in me to take her to the hospital. I don't have it in me for me to go to the hospital. You know, it's, I don't know. I'm going through this, kind of weird thing now. I just, like I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't. And I mean, like I said, I don't talk much in these meetings, and I prefer to listen because usually I learn something. Tonight I learned something about the mistakes. But this is I want to say a mistake that I'm really scared to make. And then again, I could just be looking for, looking at the negative side of things instead of looking, maybe nothing will happen. Maybe it'll be all right. Maybe I'll survive this. My other problem is that she's taken narcotics, okay? I mean, I have 18 months clean, and I should be able to handle it. But I've never had narcotics or alcohol in my house in the 18 months, since I got clean. And I mean, she's taken Percocet and Valium and, all the things that, at one point I had done. And this is going to be the first time for me. And it's just... I don't know. I'm anxious about it. More so because, like I said, this is the first time it'll be in my house or in my presence that I know of anyway. So I'm just, I don't know. I don't know if anybody here has anything to make me feel any different. I don't know if you can tell me anything to make me feel different. I don't know, but this is really bothering me. And in a sense, I say it's like, well, it's too late to do anything now because she's leaving Sunday. She'll be here Sunday afternoon. And then I think, well, I have until Saturday night to think about it. I can always call her and say, well, Mom, I can't deal with it. But then that would hurt her, hurt me, hurt my daughter, hurt my son. It's just too many people that... I don't know. Thanks for listening anyway.
Bernie, I'm grateful to be clean today, Bob, I can definitely relate to that. Like you said, we all mirror images. Mistakes. I'm definitely one of the last people to want to admit to it. The more and more I work this program and work the steps, I see why they say you need to work in a specific order. You need to do this and follow the suggestions. A lot of my mistakes are just mistakes that I make. And a lot of my mistakes that I do are for my pain, my defects of character. Instead of being responsible, instead of programmed action, so I have to be held accountable when I know that I'm doing these things, acting out on behavior. And it's a lot of stuff today, records from the past, mistakes that I've made that I'm going to have to be accountable for, I cannot just get by with saying, well, I didn't get caught doing that. And there are things that I'm going to have to step up to the plate and say, hey, that was a mistake, I need to repair this. It's something about being responsible. This program teaches me to take action, I led the program. And so now I'm at the point where now I have to be responsible completely for my actions. Today that's something. That's something real new. It's gonna happen. I'm not worried about it later. Today, it's different. Like we said yesterday, things will get different. And it truly is. But it's a whole lot better than the way it was. It's a whole lot better than the way it was. Just like life. Things happen, and that's life. Live life on life's terms. Sometimes it's rough, but it's not as fucking rough as it was. I've learned that today. Before, I was like, life is just too fucking much to handle. The simplest way for me to handle life is to go out here and grab me a damn 40 ounce of whatever the fuck I can get to take me out of the reality. My life's not that bad. It's all about what I make and being responsible. That's where I'm at today, being responsible. That's all I got.
Thanks, brother. I'm Jody. I'm an addict.
Hey, Jody.
It's been a long week this week. Monday seems like a year ago, you know. So, I've not been here as long as a lot of the other people here, and sometimes I feel like I don't know a damn thing about recovery, you know. I could tell you all kinds of stories about, you know, what I know about addiction, but the other day I was at work, and part of my job includes sweeping up the parking lot. You know, pretty mediocre job. That's part of it. So I go sweeping around and with my dustpan and everything, and go over by the dumpster, and there's two little white pills laying on the ground. You know, I don't know what they were. Yeah, you know, I can tell you the numbers on them because I memorized them. I just thought, you know, a big part of myself's just that reason. It said, you know, the ideal thing to do right now would be reach down and put those in your pocket and go in the bathroom at work and get a little piece of toilet paper and wrap them up so they don't get crushed, take them home. A couple days later, when you get a chance, figure out what they are. Yeah, it's just too easy, you know. That kind of—I don't know—that kind of got to me because it's just one of the things. You know, didn't have to go out and find somebody to score. You know, it's just one of them stupid little things. Just laying right there, but. I don't know, it made me think about where I was at and, you know, why something little like that got to me. You know, in active addiction, I did thousands of dollars worth of drugs, and I still don't know who was paying the bills, you know? It was just always there. You know, this program, you know, I've said it before, this program's the only thing that's ever allowed me to continually be clean. I've been clean for short stretches and decided I need to get clean and clean myself up for a little while. And it always, you know, it was a cycle, real destructive cycle. You know, I don't really feel like, I still feel like an addict, you know. I feel like an addict painted up to be something else. I guess eventually through these steps, I'm becoming something else. I'm learning and growing a little bit, but, you know, it always feels like a struggle, because that's the only way I know how to live, is to make everything a struggle for me. You know, I'm sure for a lot of us, maybe it doesn't have to be such a struggle. You know, maybe higher power carries us on, but for me, I always make things a little bit harder than what they are. But what you guys have shared tonight, you know, I've got some good information. Part of them will decide to make an effort to use it, and part of them will say, well, they're all, you know, what do they know? But I guess some of that, for me, is just acceptance of my reality and who I am, learning to work with that. So that's all I got right now.
Nat.
I'm grateful to be here. I just like listening to everyone sharing. I don't know. I enjoy like small meetings where, you know, people seem like they're able to share honestly and intimately about what's going on. And you know, I was kind of thinking about what brought me down to Jonesboro, Tennessee. you know,
Oldest city.
I hear like the same message that. You know, I could be getting right about an hour later around the corner, you know, without spending, you know, half a day in the car with a bunch of guys driving each other crazy. You know, and I know that's not a mistake. You know why? Because it's based, it's like based on relationships that, you know, I formed in recovery, just formed in recovery. And what I keep thinking of actually was just something that happened Thursday night. And it wasn't, well, it was kind of dramatic. It was dramatic. It was dramatic. My girlfriend sponsors a young woman who has been coming around for a while, like just a little while, and using. And she's going to rehab and come back out and use, and needed a little time and space to get it. Well, really, she probably just needed to sleep, really, but, you know, she was getting getting some treatment, and so she was kind of thrust upon us. We had a couple things to do, and we kind of dragged her along, and so we were hanging out with her for a couple hours, and she just nodding off and coming back in and out, and I realized it had been a while since I was just, you know, hanging out with somebody that was fucked up. She was fucked. She was grooving, actually. She was grooving, and that's what I did. I started, you know, because my thing was I want to say, you know, what I'm going to say something to, you know, clean her up and keep her clean, you know, or, you know, beat up on her because she didn't listen when I, you know, talked to her last time or, you know. And, you know, she was stumbling around, putting her shoes on. I had to help her put a jacket on or something. And that's all I could do was laugh because she was enjoying herself, you know. So I think, why fuck up, you know, why fuck up her high if that's her last one, all the better. But, you know, I didn't, and we were with a couple people, and they were talking about being jealous of her, man. And you know what? Like, when I look around this table and, like, when I talk to people, you know, I'm able to, like, to look in their eyes and see, like, a spark. And she was gone. She wasn't, you know, empty. And it was like, and she was like, she's a beautiful young woman. Like, she was attractive, and she's repulsive. You know, like the thought of, you know, I was just, just changed, you know, I don't know. It just really was like, put me in my place of what I believe we call empathy around here. Because I understood where she was at. I remember, you know, being like that. But I, you know, and I wanted to be compassionate. And at the same time, let her know it's like, it's, you know, it's not all right to do what you did, but that you can get clean. And that's the kind of thing that I learned from people in these rooms that taught me. And that's the kind of thing I heard from the time that I got here, was I didn't have to use anymore. You know, I remember that from, like, my first few meetings in this fellowship from guys that are, like, around this table now. And, you know, it's funny because I like reach out in fellowship and, you know, listen to people like, you know, like Greg and Bob that are so, you know, so profound that it made such a dramatic impact on the fellowship and stuff. And they're just saying the same damn thing I heard when I went to, you know, my first meetings in, you know, the little town that I was from, little meetings like this, where everybody had to share, you know, twice to fill up an hour and a half. And that, you know, that's that's like what it was like and where it started, and not so much far removed from the nature of what the thing is about, I believe. So I'm you know, grateful to be here, and glad I didn't just sleep through the meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm adding my name to James.
Oh, James.
You know, the best part of recovery for me, you know, is making mistakes and then learning from them. Because during my active addiction, I never knew anything about, you know, learning from mistakes. You know, like, when I made one, I was devastated. And everybody around me paid for it, you know. But today, you know, it's like learning. I made this mistake now, what can I learn from it? You know, and in the course of the mistake, you know, the feelings are there, and I'm not learning anything, but after I get through it, you know, then I look back and say, what can I learn from that? You know, that's what's most important for me today. I just celebrated some clean time, May the 12th. And what's significant about that is that in 1993, I think I've been blocking it out, because every year when my clean day comes up, I remember that my mother died the 15th. And tomorrow is going to be May 15th, you know. And every time I get ready to celebrate, I start going through these feelings. I start remembering, you know, how it was when I came in. I weighed 145 pounds. I ended up in rehab. You know, and now I weigh 210, you know. So I gained a couple pounds, as Greg used to say. You know what I'm saying? I gained one of you and I gained one of you.
Yeah.
And I start feeling good about that, you know, that, you know, I'm still clean after all these years. And then reality hit me, my mother. You know, she's no longer here to see me celebrate. And when I celebrated 10 years, she wanted to be there. You know, and my ex-girlfriend got to tell her. You know, so she was pissed. You know, and I really wanted her to be there. You know, but I never got the chance to let her see me celebrate my 10 years. So that's the feeling that I'm going through right now. I'm missing my mother. She died doing what she wanted to do. She was playing bingo up in Connecticut. That's what she wanted to do. She was an addict, and she had stopped using. She had a massive drug habit. While she was here, she really touched my life. I'm proud of her, you know, that she had stopped using. She didn't do it with Narcotics Anonymous, but I was kind of pissed and resentful. Well, that there is somebody who can stop, who can start recovering without NA. But she did it, you know, and I'm proud of her. And when I heard about Greg, I felt real sad. You know, but Greg touched me all the time he was here. That one time, Greg was my grand sponsor. You know, and I remember one time my son let somebody steal my English racer. And like, I'm recovering, I got a bike. You know? Never had one. I got recovering. I got one. I let him ride my bike and somebody stole it. I called my sponsor in Connecticut and Greg happened to be there. My sponsor said, well, I ain't got no kids, but your grand sponsor's here. And I talked to Greg and Greg said, kids will be kids. And that kind of, you know, brought me back to reality, you know, that kids are irresponsible. Kids will do things they're not supposed to do. You know, kids are kids. And I had to accept it. First time I met Greg was at a convention in Allentown. And we walked up to him, they introduced me to him, and he gave me one of them big bear hugs like Sam did today. And he kissed me. And I said, who's this big white boy grabbing me like that? And he held me. You know, it was like, I loved it. You know, like that was the first real hug that I really had from a man. Really enjoyed it.
He
touched my life. Thanks for sharing.
I'm Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Glad to find the meeting. I've been to some other meetings here many years ago, last time I visited, but I haven't been to this one. I'm sitting here in the toilet. I'm on the topic. And I realized that long before I got clean, I knew that other people were doing better with their lives than I was doing. So buying cars, getting married, kind of good, and all the different symbols. And I also know that sometime after I got clean, I began to realize that those people that seemed to be doing well, they seemed to profit from their mistakes. They didn't get hung up in them. Well, and then they cop resentment to themselves or others because of their own mistakes. And I know, you know, philosophers get all lost on stuff like existentialism or whatever else, but the bottom line is they didn't let their own ineptness or own inabilities or their own ill fortune or whatever get in the way of continuing to move forward and make progress in their life and for a season. And I think it was about that time that I began to relate mistakes to, which is basically the same. And basic text talks about the insanity of being mistaken and being expecting different results. And I was more on service like that tomorrow, just to sort of collaborate on that a little bit. Talk about how, well, yeah, it's kind of like repeating mistaken behavior, knowing that it's going to produce screwed up results, and doing it anyway. And that, I guess, only says more of what it really meant to say. That hit it for me. If I see something as a dumb act and it's going to produce negative results, I don't have to continue to do it just to prove that I'm not going to change, that I'm going to be right, that I'm going to make it work for me, which used to be the way I see things all the time. And that's what I found, is that not getting hung up on the results, but focusing on my part in it and what I can do different for an improved result, an improved outcome. That's more important to me than being right or someone else being wrong, which is a whole other angle to being right. And so today I don't get as hung up on either my mistakes or others. I don't, everything doesn't always roll off my shoulders. And sometimes things are really critical point. You really lose if you don't make it. That doesn't happen when it's supposed to. But somehow I'm getting to a point where I can begin to see it that way, giving me a little more inner peace with it. So I get some thank you for doing it. Some dwelling on loss of a close personal time. I believe I may have first actually met Greg at Marwick in 1988. And some months later, maybe he was in Wisconsin, right in Wisconsin. And for me, he was like the Eskimo. He just seemed to have better answers. He seemed to understand things better. He seemed to have the knowledge and experience to be able to give answers that made sense, instead of just quoting or expounding or repeating something like that. Come up with in my back. And my commitment to that was, I call it every Monday night. And last couple Monday nights, we had a Monday night. Both my parents are still alive. That's it. After like 9 years of shit. Things were finally coming around. Things were finally starting to open up and look good for a better future. It's happening in my life. I had laser surgery in my eyes in January. And I don't have to wear glasses anymore. Just refinanced my house this week. And even as I was celebrating 15 years, putting my feelings into writing about the passing of my sponsor due to a very fast cancer that no one would imagine. This doesn't seem like this is. Well, I'm not going to make a mistake of buying it for 6 years. I'm also not going to make a mistake of believing that anybody can replace unless that's special. But someone somewhere someday they will fill the role of confidant and sponsor or whatever. But people ask me whether they have. I'm not going to make a mistake of jumping to anything quickly because I want to go through the grieving process. I want to be able to work through my feelings and my understanding of not only what I've gained as a result of this relationship, but what I've also been able to give and gain and be a part of. Sometimes, not in many ways, it's also realizing that there's really a whole lot of different things going on at once. And not having any answers.
Thanks. Turn it back over to our illustrious secretary.
Jody. Seventh tradition states every NA group should be self-supporting and declining outside contributions. This money goes to paper.